Bustia soon enough? Miyaka sighed. I hope so. For now, I don't think this information needs to be shared. I nodded, my mind on the other side of the country. He was sweet, you know? It felt like a really special thing to find someone so kind. Miyaka pushed her forehead playfully against mine. I can't imagine you risking everything for anyone who wasn't worthy. I drew her to me and hugged her quickly, grateful she understood. But as much as I appreciated my sister's support, I wished Aisling were there. She had known what it was to love someone who you knew would grow old without you. When there's no need to sleep, no need to eat, when there's nothing but empty years lying in wait, the soul becomes restless. I had been thinking about Aisling's choices, and I understood why she had watched her family from afar. But she and I were different creatures, with different relationships with the people we left behind. I had spent days considering how Aisling had lived. In the end, I knew one absolute truth. I could never go back to Akinlee. My last wish for him was that he'd have a long and happy life, and I meant that with all that was within me. But watching him forget me, seeing him with some other girl, seeing his face in their children, I couldn't stomach it. I also knew I couldn't forget him. But that was a cross I would have to bear in silence. Silence. I ought to be used to that by now. 22. Miyaka's brushes were scattered on the floor. She'd been painting nonstop for days. That's a pretty one, I commented, hoping that line would be enough conversation to get me through the rest of the day without my sisters looking at me with big, worried eyes when they thought I couldn't see them. Thanks. The last few have been a bit rougher, yeah? I nodded. I like your aggressive ones, Elizabeth said. I think people would laugh if they knew something so menacing came out of a 16-year-old. Or an 87-year-old. Either way. They giggled, but I saw nothing comical about it. Can I make art too? Padma asked. It was sweet. I could still see the tension in her eyes, feel that she wasn't free of her worries, but she was trying to tackle them any way she could. She was stronger than I was, and I admired her for it.
Me too,
Elizabeth said, grabbing at a stack of papers. Sure. Miyaka rolled her hair up into a bun, spearing it with a colored pencil. Be grand, be fearless. Make something people can't look away from.
I don't think I can recreate myself, Elizabeth wiggled her eyebrows.
But who could? I gave them a smile, a dim, tiny thing. I remembered thinking in Port Clyde that I could live my life for Akinlee. I wonder now if I could go back to trying to live for my sisters. After all, they were all I had left in the world. But I simply couldn't drum up the will. As I focused on the lines of the floorboards, Miyaka wordlessly set some paper and charcoal pencils in front of me. She met my gaze and shrugged. I hurt too. Not the same as you, I know that. But this helps me. Maybe. Maybe. I placed a hand on hers. Thank you. She walked back to her canvas, determined to finish a collection. I wasn't worried about having a home anymore, or new clothes, but Elizabeth and Miyaka very much were. I knew they felt responsible for Padma and, now, for me, too. For the time being, I was going along with whatever they wanted, simultaneously wanting to be alone while hoping they wouldn't kick me out of their circle for being too miserable. If I were left to my own devices, I might try to go back to Maine. I wasn't strong enough to keep a safe distance on my own yet, and I was afraid. If I made a mistake, it would ruin Akinlee. And there was a corner of my heart that worried the ocean might rid me of him for the sake of security, or for whatever reason seemed most believable to her. I pulled over the paper and doodled. It was nothing. Pages of circles and zigzags. But on one page, the curve of a line turned into the profile of Akinlee's cheek, and the circles were the exact shapes of his eyes. I was no artist, but I'd committed every piece of Akinlee to memory, and he spilled out onto the page whether I liked it or not. It was remarkable, really, what my hands were capable of.
They could remember the way it felt to touch his hair, the prickle of end-of-the-day stubble, the warm curve of his chin, and they recreated it beautifully in black and white. How I miss that face. What wouldn't I give to see it light up in surprise or conspire with me through a wink? That face had so quickly become the symbol of comfort in my world. I didn't want to cry in front of the others, not with their worry constantly hovering over me as it was. Instead, I balled up the papers and tossed them into the trash. I tried to do the same with my memories, but it did no good. How would I ever be able to get past this? I walked out the back door, down the slope, and to the one place I'd been avoiding for months. Welcome. The ocean sounded tentative, but as if she was happy to see me. Her waters embraced me as I waded deeper, then lay back, floating. This isn't working, I confessed, sinking. What? Separating me from someone I love doesn't make me love you more. It makes me bitter. I don't want to exist like this, like half a person.
You aren't, she insisted. You're more than a person. I've bestowed on you everything I can. You are stronger than anyone. You have my favor above anyone before you. What more do you want?
To fall in love, I admitted. To get married?
Which you will certainly be able to do once you no longer belong to me.
But Akinlee will be dead, or very close to. Whatever you may think of humans, it isn't acceptable to wed a corpse.
Why would you think I have a low opinion of humans?
She asked, irritation in her voice.
I live to serve them. Everything I am is theirs. You think you have some heavy curse on you? What of me?
She waited for an answer that I didn't have.
Is it too much to ask that I keep the one precious thing I've had a little while longer?
I was silent. I thought of my life, both the few years I was truly flesh and blood, and the decades of being something much more frightening. There was nothing special about me. Nothing changed by me living or dying. For her, not surviving wasn't an option. I thought of my sadness, brought on by my own foolishness and prolonged by my stubbornness. She didn't have the option of being low, of not constantly giving. When I measured up everything, I was insignificant, except maybe to her.
You think more time is a punishment, but you can continue to grow, to learn. Why do you want to leave me?
That's not at all what I'm saying. Why didn't she get this?
What are you saying?
I gritted my teeth, frustrated and furious. Do you understand how difficult it is for me to love you when you threaten someone I care about? You know how flawed I am. How can I trust that you won't destroy him the next time I fall short?
You've served so well, Colin. You never made a misstep until you met him. The more you speak of this boy, the surer I feel his death would benefit you.
No! I could feel anger and fear radiating from my skin. Don't you understand? This makes me hate you.
Then where is our balance? How do we commune together now, after such a mistake?
I closed my eyes, wounded by the word. Akinlee was no mistake.
Control your thoughts.
You want my devotion? My undying affection?
Yes, as you have mine.
Then don't threaten me with his death, I said. Promise me his life.
How do you mean?
I thought over what I knew about her. You can identify certain souls if you must, yes?
Of course.
Then promise me that if you see his struggling body in water, you will bring it to shore. Promise me that if a rope pulls him off his boat, you'll untangle it yourself. Promise me that my voice will never bring him to his grave. If you do all that, if you can spare him, then I'll never say his name again. Swear his safety to me, and I will give you all that's left of me. She considered this.
Will you be kinder to your sisters? They worry.
I give you my word. Miaka, Elizabeth, and Padma will have the best of my spirits. I could feel her waves moving like gears,
processing the request and searching for a flaw. I promise.
Then I promise too,
she vowed.
Akinley's death will not come at my hands. Furthermore, I'll do everything I can to prevent it.
The tension in my body slackened, a fear finally removed. Thank you.
I will be here when you are ready to love me. Go to your sisters. They need you as well.
I left the water, marching back to the house dripping wet. Mieka and Elizabeth were leaning together at the table, conspiring as usual, while Padma watched them, her chin cupped in her hands.
Hey, Mieka said brightly. We were thinking of trying to find a new city, someplace warm. Any suggestions?
We don't have to leave. I told you, it's fine here. At this rate, we'll run out of places to go.
All the same, Elizabeth said, where did you go when you left us for that day? Anywhere good?
It felt as if a nail went through my heart. It hadn't been good. It had been perfect. Port Clyde? It's this tiny town in Maine. We'd never blend in there.
Oh,
Elizabeth pursed her lips, thinking. I watched the puddle at my feet blossom. I know what you're doing.
Mieka froze. What do you mean?
Hopping from place to place, trying to fix me. I appreciate it, but it's not going to make things better.
Elizabeth stood. We just don't know what else to do. You've taken care of us for so long, and we want to do the same for you.
These were big words, considering her fixation on her own comfort and happiness. I sighed, remembering what I'd just promised the ocean, and walked over to my sisters, embracing them. It's a season, I told them. Every season ends. I pushed a smile onto my face. I'd made a vow, and I always obeyed. That had been my talent in this life, and I needed to readopt it. That season ends today. I simply needed time to adjust. I'll be fine now. The lie took so much energy out of me. That would be fine. My body, at least, was indestructible.
23. Hey, prom queen,
he began, laughing. I grinned in spite of myself. That's not even a funny joke anymore.
Well, you're stuck with it now.
I rolled into him on the blanket we were sharing. We rested on the patch of grass between his house and the water. The sun was blinding, and I was calmed by the hush of water hitting the sand. Akinley smelled of cotton and grass and something dry, maybe books. It was a wonderfully unique scent, and I was intoxicated by it.
So, what do you want to study?
He held up a pamphlet in front of me.
English? Communication? Remember when we met and you were looking at all those cakes?
Cake, I answered dreamily. Akinley chuckled in reply.
You could study culinary arts. What do you think about that?
I'd eat every assignment. I'd have nothing left for the professor to grade. He swatted me with a paper.
Well, what then? When I go back, you're going with me. What do you want to study?
Maybe history, I confessed.
You sound ashamed.
It just doesn't sound as exciting as being a chemist or a lawyer. I'd probably end up in a museum or something. Akinley shrugged.
Who cares? If you're happy, then that's all that matters.
I can show you history.
We both sat upright.
Whoa.
Did you hear that? I asked. He shouldn't have heard anything. Nor should I. Not anymore.
I can take you across centuries. Stay with me.
But I already did, I cried. I hadn't forgotten. Everything I'd been promised was false.
Who is that? Who are you talking to?
Stay. I can give you everything.
She'd gotten stronger, much stronger, and I imagined her forcing tsunamis and pulling down airplanes just to have the energy for this moment. The wind pushed me toward the ocean and kept Akinley rooted in place.
Look, he's safe, just as I promised. Now come home.
No, no, I gave you all my time.
Colin!
Akinley reached for me, his face agonized. I jerked awake. Sleep had seemed like a good idea, a way to pass hours without disappointing or lying to my sisters. Weirdly enough, there were even days lately when I had felt as if I needed rest. For now, it would have to be avoided. I couldn't shake the dream of Akinlee hearing the ocean, understanding her call. It gave me a chill. When my heart rate dropped, I went hunting for the girls. It was daybreak, and the sun shone harshly through the windows. Elizabeth's honey brown hair was extra golden in the morning light. "Hi," I said, coming up to her. She had a wide canvas on the floor and had switched from paintbrushes to brooms. Padma sat quietly, watching her. My youngest sister had said less and less as the days passed, but she seemed content with Elizabeth. I watched as Elizabeth swept the broom across the canvas, leaving a wide streak of blue. "That's one way to do it, I guess," she laughed. "I'm not as gifted as Miyaka. I can't do all that fine tip stuff. But this feels like me." I took in the garish strokes, the haphazard color choices. Everything looked as if it could almost be an accident, but you could feel the heart behind it. "It absolutely does. Where's Miyaka?"
"Oh, she's out,"
Elizabeth hedged, something slightly off in her voice.
"Out where?"
"She read about some forest in Iceland that has these really special flowers. If you grind the petals and mix them with oil, it's supposed to make this crazy vibrant paint, like better than anything you could buy in a store."
"Oh, so how long will that take her?"
"A few days, I guess. The ocean took her to Iceland, but she has to find the actual flowers herself."
I stared at the finished paintings scattered around our living room. Miyaka had over a dozen now, enough to call a collection and start selling. I wish she'd have taken us with her. I could use a project right now.
"Then paint something,"
Elizabeth suggested, dipping her broom into a vat of yellow. "Not sure I have anything worth making right now."
"Don't be silly. Find the right billionaire and he'll buy a streak of green paint on an otherwise blank page for enough to cover 3 months' rent."
She grinned as she went back to her work. I sat down with the charcoals again and tried. I really did. But everything that came out was either the waves of Akinlee's hair when he drove with the window down, or his still hands when I pulled his body out of the water. I stayed away from his face, but he came back to me in 100 different images. They were nothing but rough scratches across the paper, but I left them in a pile for Miyaka. She could decide what to do with them. When she finally returned 4 days later, fresh out of the water, I was pleased with how much potential she saw in my sloppy little scribbles. "There's something very honest about them, Colin. If I had the money, I'd buy them off you right now." I hit her arm.
"Stop it. I like them, but they're not that good. Nothing like what you make."
"Well, I'm still going to put them in my showcase. Along with the new stuff? With your flower paint?" She squinted.
"Huh? The flowers from Iceland? Aren't you making paint?"
She laughed and waved a carefree hand at me.
"Oh, I couldn't even find them. I felt like such a dope wandering around in the woods for all that time. I think a little more research is in order.
I'll come with you next time if you want."
Miyaka touched my arm.
"That's really sweet of you. It's nice to see a little bit of Colin coming back." I shrugged.
"Don't give up on me. I'm trying."
"Never." Miyaka winked at me as I walked to the kitchen. Maybe a little food would boost our collective spirits. Maybe it would fill the hole in my stomach that felt like an eerie hunger. As I turned to open the refrigerator, I noticed Miyaka give Elizabeth a minuscule nod. Elizabeth inhaled deeply, trying to hide a smile. Elizabeth went out back to hose off her brooms, and Miyaka left to find dry clothes, and nothing more came of the exchange. A few weeks later, Elizabeth went on a 5-day shopping trip. Padma cried, begging her not to leave, but to no avail. Elizabeth insisted it was necessary. Elizabeth had done this a few times in the past, buying so many clothes, she shipped them home instead of carrying them. This time, she returned with 2 bags.
2.
"What can I say? Everything's dreadful this season," she said, tossing her finds in a corner as if they didn't even matter.
After that, Miyaka spent a week in Japan reconnecting with her roots for the sake of her art. The entire time she was gone, Elizabeth did nothing but pace from room to room, never settling, as if she couldn't stand her absence. Personally, I didn't understand the trip in the first place. Miyaka had never wanted to go home before, no matter the reason. And when she came back, it looked like the same old art to me. I didn't even try to remember Elizabeth's next excuse for leaving.
though I didn't understand her reasons either. If she'd been so antsy for Miyaka to get back and knew how upset Padma got when she left, why did she go? When she returned, I pounced on them all, determined to end this. Why do you keep running off? I demanded, planting my hands on my hips. Miyaka crossed her arms defensively. I don't know what you mean. I feel like I'm doing a lot better, like I'm much easier to be around. So why do you keep taking turns bailing and leaving Padma to babysit me? No one is babysitting you, Elizabeth argued, throwing herself down on the couch. We've just been thinking it would be nice to spend some time alone occasionally, like Aisling used to. Padma jumped on board. Yeah. My eyes bounced between them, having a difficult time imagining that was true. Elizabeth and Miyaka had been inseparable for decades, and it seemed like Padma fit right in. Why now? What had happened? Are you fighting? I asked, still skeptical. No. Elizabeth was dripping all over the couch. Are you upset with me? Miyaka walked over, her expression tender. No, not in the slightest. We've been curious about Aisling's method, that's all. But it's strange to stay away for long. She turned to Elizabeth. I don't know how she went for months. Me neither. I'd be miserable without you. Padma nodded. I didn't want to comment that she didn't seem that happy in the first place. One argument at a time. So everything's fine? I asked. I placed a hand on my forehead, feeling a little dizzy. The same feeling had washed over me 3 times in the last week, forcing me into bed until my head cleared up. Yes. Oh. I backed away, my brain muddled from the woozy feeling and the confusion over their absences. Sorry, things have been off for me lately. Miyaka smiled. We know, and we're here for you. Or there for you, Elizabeth added, pointing a graceful arm toward the ocean. A chill ran through me. When it lingered, I wrapped myself in blankets and retreated to my room, disappointed in myself. Was I becoming paranoid? I breathed, reminding myself of my promise. I was going to be an exemplary sister. It wouldn't do for me to go around accusing them of things. I needed to take up a hobby or something. There was too much free time, too much space for my mind to wander. If I was going to keep my promise and try to live without Akinlee, I needed to find something else to think about. A few days later, I was forced to think about someone other than Akinlee. We all had to focus on Padma whether we wanted to or not. She still can't forget. She wants her father to suffer as she did. Miyaka's face was solemn as she faced me across the table. Beside her, tears ran down Padma's face. Elizabeth sat on her other side, her hand lightly on our youngest sister's shoulder. I felt awful. I'd known she was sad, but I didn't think it was this bad. It had been over a year. We'd already had a second, and more somber, Christmas together, and sat watching the ball drop in New York on New Year's Eve. Padma sorrowfully wished she could have been there for that. We were seeing commercials for Valentine's Day now, and Padma was no longer a fresh siren. None of it made sense. Why? I asked. We all forget our past lives. How can you still remember so much? It's because she's still angry, Elizabeth guessed. My thoughts went back to our brownstone when a very similar theory had occurred to me. Miyaka's forgiven her family, so she doesn't remember details, and I know you've forgotten almost everything. But I remember more than either of you, and Padma went through so much more than any of us. I remember enough. My parents didn't really appreciate me either, Miyaka admitted, looking at Padma. It wasn't quite as dire as your situation, but it was close. Padma nodded. They might not have rejoiced in my death, but I doubt they mourned, Miyaka continued. If you think that thought hasn't haunted me, you're wrong. We all suffer our regrets. She gestured to each of us. I nodded. I felt immeasurable guilt over the loss of my family, as if maybe I could have undone it somehow. Then there were the tens of thousands of lives I sang into the grave. I carried them like a weight around my neck. And always, probably forever, Akinlee. But you cannot go seeking revenge, Miyaka told Padma firmly. Padma sighed,
wiping away her tears. It just feels like an injustice. He killed me. My mother let him. No one will come looking for me. No police will come for them. It's not fair.
Elizabeth shook her head.
What?
I shot. You think she should go, don't you? Elizabeth shrugged.
If she hadn't told us, if she had gone on her own, it would be done by now, and none of us would have been the wiser.
The ocean would have been, I replied.
If Padma had hopped into the water and gone back to India, she certainly would have read her thoughts. The ocean might have killed her for trying to take revenge.
I placed my hand on Padma's arm.
And after what you've been through, to die now, it'd be the greatest loss.
She could have made it, Elizabeth muttered. I closed my eyes, trying to keep a hold on my temper.
I'm sorry for your suffering, Padma, I told her. You have no idea how much I ache for you. Maybe it's selfish, but I don't need another reason to hate this life. If we lost you now,
I didn't want to think about it.
What do you mean, another reason? Padma asked. What else has happened?
Miyaka glanced quickly at me. She had kept what had happened to me, my love and the bargain I had made with the ocean, private, waiting for me to be ready to tell the others. I swallowed.
It's a difficult life, I said dismissively. You hurt people. You lose people you love.
Elizabeth leaned in.
Who have you loved?
I love a... I nearly caved. I missed him so badly. I wondered what he was doing every day. Did he think of me? Was he with someone else? Did he go back to school? Was he happy?
I loved Aisling and Marilyn. Eventually, we all get separated. And I loved my family.
I smiled to myself.
I was a lucky girl. I was treasured. Elizabeth seemed disappointed, maybe hoping I'd have something juicy to share. But Miyaka spoke up.
You've never talked about them much. I know you had brothers, but that's about it.
I pulled together the few scraps of memory I still had of my family. I looked like my mother. I can remember a little bit of her face because I see it in mine. And my father was proud of me, mostly because I was beautiful, I think. But he told me often how sharp I was and how easy I was to converse with. And I was obedient. I nodded to myself. They appreciated that.
A trait you never lost, Elizabeth commented.
I smirked. Well, almost never. I've made my share of mistakes, as you've so astutely pointed out.
And why not?
Elizabeth planted her cheek on her hand, staring me down.
What has this obedience ever gotten you?
It has gotten me a second chance, Elizabeth. She shook her head.
If I had to guess, I'd say it cost you your only chance.
Her words brought back a vaguely familiar feeling, the way my body had felt when I fell into the ocean during my sinking. Hard, sharp, and all too real.
Miyaka hit her arm. Stop it. In case you've forgotten, she's carrying 50 more years on her back right now. You know what she's going through.
Elizabeth rolled her eyes as if it were all nothing.
Sorry. What if I asked the ocean? Padma proposed. What if she let me go?
Elizabeth clapped her hands and pointed.
There's one hell of an idea. Ask the ocean. I bet if we brought their bodies to her, she'd be grateful.
Miyaka was quiet, considering. That's possible.
Colin?
Padma asked.
Can we go?
Who was I to say no?
You can ask, but we all have to agree that what the ocean says is final. Whatever it is, we will abide by it and drop it.
You're assuming she'll say no,
Elizabeth accused. Yes, I am. I don't know why she'd say yes.
Then you must agree that if she does, you're coming. We won't leave this all on Padma.
I pulled back, shocked.
That's insane. I refuse to take any life I don't absolutely have to.
Elizabeth glared at me.
I always thought we were all in this. You were the one who preached solidarity and support. And now you're leaving the most damaged of us to fend for herself?
I'm not leaving her to anything. The ocean will never agree.
Elizabeth pushed back her chair.
Let's just see about that.
She led the charge down the snow-covered ground to the water, so sure of herself. She was at our newest sister's side as Padma pleaded her case, vowed the care she would take, and promised to bring the bodies of her parents back to the ocean in return if she was allowed to avenge her death.
No.
But please, Padma begged. Can't you see how unfair this is?
I do. But the secrecy of our world is far more valuable than your revenge. A single misstep could ruin everything. You cannot go.
Padma began crying and rushed out of the water. Elizabeth followed, shaking her head.
Don't let her do anything foolish.
I won't, I promised, knowing that command was for me. Miyaka held my hand as we made our way back to the house. Thank goodness our waterfront home was isolated, because Padma's wails were piercing.
I'm torn, Miyaka said, her own eyes filling with tears. There were so many times I wished I could show my parents that I wasn't worthless, that I was smart and creative. I wanted them to know what I was capable of. To watch her suffer is so painful.
The ocean said Padma had a gentle mind and that she'd already let go of a lot.
Eventually, it'll all be gone.
Miyaka shook her head.
That makes it 1,000 times worse. If she's already let go of so many memories, how much must there have been for her to still feel so victimized?
Days went by, and Padma's tears carried on. I tried to focus on other things and failed. Miyaka's brush hung over the canvas, creating nothing. Elizabeth was undistracted. It wasn't Padma's crying or Elizabeth's anger that finally wore me down. It was Miyaka, who, as always, had found the simple truth in everything. She was right. Padma's past must have been horrific for her to carry on this way. She deserved her revenge. So I was the one who researched trips to India and chose a direct flight out of Miami. We could have flown from the airport nearest our home in Washington State and not had to drive cross-country, but I felt that the farther we traveled over land from where the ocean thought we were, the more likely we'd be able to escape her notice. I was the one who rented the car, and I was the one who begged Padma to quiet herself so we could get to Florida without the ocean knowing. 24. It had been 1.5 years since the last time we'd been in Florida, and I actually felt happy as we crossed the border. Not because I knew what was coming, that was something I dreaded, but because this was where I had met Akinlee. It was as if I was completing a circle, coming right back to the start. Maybe just being here would fix something in the very core of me that I worried was irreparable. This is us, I said, pulling up to the rental house. Nothing fancy, but we won't be here for long.
No, it's great, Elizabeth said, taking in the small house and humid air, a blessed change from the frost.
We were inland from the coast, not wanting to get too close to the beach. For our plan to work, we had to be sure there was no chance of any of us dipping even one toe in the ocean. We had only 1 month or so left before she'd need to feed again. There had been few shipwrecks this year, and unless a big one came soon, we were going to have to sing a little earlier than usual. She was getting hungrier, and I didn't want to strain her temper. We'd pulled in with only hours to spare. The flight was leaving in the morning. We toted in our luggage and gathered in the living room, where I gave them final instructions. Here are your tickets. I handed over the papers, each assigned to a fake name and ID. Padma, this was the best I could do. She stared at the face on the passport.
This girl's nose is hideous.
Which is why you can write down that you had a nose job, if anyone asks. I ran my fingers through my hair, feeling frazzled, unsure if I should be hating myself right now or not.
Okay, all you need to do is keep a low profile. Padma, remember, it is crucial that you do not speak to anyone at any time.
I focused my eyes on hers.
You're so new to this, and it's hard in the beginning to stay silent. But if you really want this, you must.
I understand. She tucked her passport into the dossier with her tickets. I've arranged for transportation once you arrive. Padma, I'm counting on you to be their guide. I marked hotels you can stay at if you need to. I handed Miyaka the printed out map. It might be best to travel by night, but that's up to you.
Wait, you're not coming? Padma asked.
I can't. I bit at my lips and rubbed my hands together, anxious. But I'm making this possible for you. Can that be enough? Elizabeth put a hand on my knee.
It's more than enough.
I sighed. Listen, I can't stress the importance of this too much. Whatever you do, use water pulled from a well or a pump. It has to be unconnected to her, or we're all done. And bury the bodies. Keep them from the water. If she catches us...
Mieka took my hand.
We're smart. We'll watch out for Padma, and we'll keep safe.
I swallowed. My throat was dry. A strange sensation. I'll wait here for you. Please be careful.
They reorganized their bags for the trip, and I unpacked quietly, doing what I could to make myself comfortable in purgatory. My natural instinct was to go to the library. He hadn't said anything about returning to school, but after all the time that had passed, I could imagine Akinley back in his khaki pants, pushing his carts of books down the hallway, maybe with his hair cut short again or still wearing it pulled up. I'd been so good for so long that if there was a chance of seeing him just once more, even if I had to hide in the shadows, I had to take it. But all it took was stepping out the front door for me to know. Akinley wasn't here. I wasn't sure how I could tell, but I felt certain he was still in Maine. It was a bizarre sensation, like someone had attached us at the wrists with a string. If I focused on that feeling hard enough, I could strangely feel his presence, or rather, the lack thereof. Alone in the house, with nothing else to hold my attention, I thought of Aisling, wondering if my older sister was still the master of wisdom in her new school. She was the only reason I had thought it was possible to send the girls across the ocean undetected. She had proved the ocean didn't know everything. I packed my few things, filled the rental car, and drove up the coast. If I had anyone to explain this to, I'd swear up and down that this wasn't why I came back to the East Coast with the girls, or why I sent them to another country. Truly, it wasn't. I had no interest in gambling with Akinley's life. But I needed to see his face, shorn or unshaven, sloppy or kempt, hopefully covered in a smile. That was my only goal. I drove nonstop, even when the weather turned icy, making the trip in just over 25 hours, leaving the car well up the lone road into Port Clyde to begin the rest of the trek on foot. I realized there was one huge flaw in my plan. My skinny jeans and tank top were not going to protect me from the elements, particularly the one I feared the most. I'd come this far, though, so I resorted to theft. I stole a pair of boots that were drying on someone's porch and used a tarp in someone else's backyard to make a coat. It was enough to get me through the snow on the ground, and I looked up at the fat clouds, hoping they'd hold out just a little bit longer. I hiked through the snow-laden forest straight toward Ben and Julie's house. My heart sped up when I saw the black shutters through the iced over branches. The truck was in the driveway, next to the little scooter, but no one came in or out, and there was no sign of life through the windows. I watched the house for the better part of an hour before a gust of wind made a letter taped to the door rustle. I wanted to read it immediately. That note might be all I got. When no one returned to the house by nightfall, I figured the darkness would be enough to hide me, and I scurried across the road.
Tommy, left a message on your phone, but just in case you didn't get it, we had to get to the hospital. Emergency. Leave the box in the back of the truck for me, and I'll take care of stuff when we get back. Not sure how long we'll be gone, but I'll call tonight once we have some answers, if we're lucky this time. Anyway, thanks again. Talk soon. Ben.
I felt a pang of fear for Julie. I remembered how she'd fretted over me when I'd washed up on her doorstep. Was she the one who was ill now? If only I could have stayed, I could be holding her hand right now. I stepped away from the door, feeling idiotic. I shouldn't be here. I was risking too much. Even though I wanted Akinley to be happy, I'd certainly lose any hope of sanity if he'd blissfully moved on without me. And if he saw me here or I made any kind of mistake, his life was on the line. After everything else, what would losing him do to Ben and Julie? I'd been stupid, impulsive. I walked past the truck, double-checking that Ben's box was indeed in the bed, and continued back to the car via the woods. I shook my head, counting myself lucky that Akinley wasn't here. On the drive up to Maine, I told myself that this would be a closing point, the way to seal off the end of my feelings for Akinley and any hope for a relationship between us. But I knew now it was more than him I missed. In a matter of hours, Ben and Julie had given me the truest sense of home I'd had in a long time. And as long as I lived this life,
The concept would be forever tied to the smell of detergent on Julie's clothes and the hum of the radiator, still running in the spring. I didn't love them the way I loved Akinlee, but they were special to me, tied to my thoughts of him, and I wished I could have at least seen one of their faces today. I'd lived through decades, stayed in more countries than the majority of people could ever visit. The happiest and most comfortable place I'd ever been was on that weathered couch with Akinlee's arm across my shoulder. This wouldn't have ended a chapter. It only would have forced me to turn a page. I drove back to Florida, wondering if I'd made a mistake regardless. I ached with disappointment, my breathing painful, strangely painful, as if I'd been in the cold air a little too long. Yes, the ocean would never know, and neither would the girls. But there was an undeniable pull in my chest, that piece of invisible string that made each mile harder and harder to travel. 25. I rubbed at my chest, which still ached, as I waited in the car. Their plane had landed almost an hour ago, and I thought it best to head to our rental house in Washington State as soon as they got through customs and collected their luggage. It would be good to get back before the ocean realized we had traveled. I wasn't sure I wanted to know if their trip had been a success. Either way, I felt a small triumph. I'd done something, on my own, and no one knew about it. That sense of privacy made me feel like an individual, less of a servant and more of a girl. Still, I squealed inside the car when I saw Padma, Elizabeth, and Mieka walk out of the airport. I was so happy to have them back. When Padma saw me, she dropped her bag and bolted across the lot at top speed, purple-black hair trailing after her. We wrapped our arms around each other, doing our best to keep from laughing.
"Thank you," she whispered into my ear. "Thank you for everything.
Let's get to the car. Come." I pulled her away, looking back over my shoulder at a very pleased Mieka and Elizabeth. I tossed the keys Elizabeth's way, tired of driving. Actually, a little tired in general. It had been a long few days. Once we were secure, I asked the only question that mattered. "The ocean suspects nothing?"
"No," Mieka vowed. I listened to her, and she seemed contently unaware. I was anxious about getting home in time, though. "Did you hear her this morning?"
I nodded. "She's hungry."
"We have to sing again?"
Padma asked, biting her lip. I knew she was remembering the disaster our last singing had been. "Don't worry," I promised, twisting around in the front seat to reassure her. "It's not going to be like last time. That will never happen again." Elizabeth nodded in agreement, and Mieka reached across the back seat to take Padma's hand.
"Things are different now," she said. "We'll do what we have to do."
I lay back and closed my eyes, looking forward to returning home. I had been dangerously close to seeing Akinlee, and being with my sisters would reinforce my resolve to keep away from him. The crisp memory of his stubble-covered cheek was the last thing I thought of before I fell asleep.
"Wake up, Sleeping Beauty," Mieka's voice dragged me from unconsciousness.
I blinked, squinting into the light.
"What?" "We're home."
I looked up to see our sleek waterfront house as Elizabeth slammed her car door.
"I slept the whole ride?"
Mieka grinned at me.
"Impressive for someone who doesn't even need it."
"That was, what, 2 days?"
She nodded. "Like I said, impressive."
There was a tiny wrinkle of worry between her brows, despite her smile. Even for me, it was weird to have slept so long. Mieka hopped out into the misty gray of the morning. The sun was like a giant pearly mass hiding behind the clouds, still bright enough to mess with my eyes. I pulled my suitcase from the trunk and hauled it inside. The others returned to their routine instantly, as if we'd merely stopped to have a conversation. Mieka picked up her paints, hunting for yellows and oranges. I couldn't help but wonder what she'd seen while she was gone and how it would inspire her today.
"Okay," Elizabeth said, pulling Padma to the couch. "Let's see if we can find any of these Bollywood movies you were talking about."
She aimed the remote at the TV, typing in a search. I assumed their trip had been successful. Padma wasn't in tears anymore, and the others seemed calm. I smiled at Padma. As always seemed to happen with the young women who became sirens, it felt as if she'd been a sister the entire time. Rubbing at my eyes, I tried to shake off my lingering sleepiness. I dreamed of Akinlee, and it had made me happier. This was how I could keep him, and I would revisit all my thoughts of him, both real and imagined, as long as I was allowed.
Will it be a cruise ship again?
Padma asked nervously, twisting her hands together. We don't know, I told her. I'll tell you what I told you last time. Avoid looking at people's faces. You'll hear things whether you want to or not, but look at anything else. The moon, the water, your dress. It helps.
And right after, we'll come back home and do whatever you like.
Elizabeth stroked Padma's hair soothingly. We won't leave this time, will we? Miyaka asked. I shook my head. I don't think so. This place is so isolated, no one's bothered us. It's probably the easiest place we've ever lived. Whatever had happened in India, Padma was calmer and seemed settled in our waterfront house. Maybe she finally understood her strength, her immortality. There was so much time left for her.
Agreed.
So that's it then, I said to the group. We'll do our job and come back here. Maybe we can do something special.
We've got some wine, Elizabeth reminded us. And more movies, Padma added.
I reached out for her hand. Fine, movie night it is.
Come, it's approaching.
Padma peeked over my shoulder at the water and swallowed.
Let's go.
I was proud of her bravery and hoped it held out through the night. Padma kept Elizabeth's hand in hers as she took to the ocean.
I feel like your best friend has been stolen, I admitted to Miyaka.
Nah, she still loves me. Like I know you do, even when you're distracted.
Am I distracted?
She pursed her lips at me knowingly.
Your head is somewhere else most days. But I don't blame you. And I don't blame Elizabeth for taking Padma under her wing. They'll be together the longest.
I sighed. Not anymore. She tugged at my arm.
Come on, it's time.
We dived in, catching the current that would take us to the ship right away. The salt tickled as it stuck to me, making my dress. It was such an old routine, I could nearly do it without thinking. Until somewhere along the coast of South America, when I felt as if I was choking.
Help! I begged, still being pulled.
What?
I scratched at the water, trying to push myself toward air.
I can't breathe! Help!
I didn't think she took me seriously. After all, how could it be possible? My vision tunneled into nothingness, and I could feel myself slipping away, lungs pressed into angry fists. Then, with a shift in direction, she took me up. I broke through the surface, gasping, lying on her back as I gagged up water and gulped in air.
Why did you do that?
She pressed.
How?
I don't know how. I don't know what happened.
What's wrong?
I needed oxygen.
I pushed myself up, legs still resting on the water, head slumped in exhaustion.
It felt like my lungs were caving in.
That's not possible.
But that's what happened. I've never felt anything like that.
Shall I call the others back?
No, I said. Let me breathe a moment, and I'll catch up to them.
I could feel her patience waning as I tried to steady my breaths, but it had to be done. Even as I began to feel normal, my heart pounded at the idea of going underwater again. But I knew my job, and all that depended on it, so I dived, hoping to get to the others quickly enough so that they wouldn't be worried.
Where were you?
Elizabeth demanded.
Hard to explain.
I felt dizzy and sick. I didn't want them to know what had happened.
I was afraid you disobeyed.
Miyaka threw her arms around me.
No, as has been pointed out, that's not my strong suit.
Then what happened?
How could I explain to her, to the others, that I'd stopped being capable of something we all were supposed to be able to do?
Later. For now, let's prepare ourselves.
I dodged the peaked rocks as I swam in, so I knew what was waiting just beneath us, but I doubted the ship in the distance did. I lay on the water, feeling worn down from losing my breath. Miyaka knelt behind me, and Elizabeth held on to Padma, who muttered to herself,
"Not the faces, not the faces, not the faces."
The song filled the empty sky, our voices rising together into the night. I watched the pretty lights of the stars as the ship collided with the rocks on its port side, its speed forcing it sideways.
Beautiful girl,
one man called, swimming to us, his voice joyful. I didn't watch, but his voice grew thicker and thicker with gargled water.
Lovely,
he sang over and over, until there was eventually nothing left at all. I waited for the silence, to know we'd gotten each soul, but before their voices gave out, mine did. I coughed a few times, trying to jumpstart my throat to no avail. I moved my mouth with the song, knowing each sound as well as my own heartbeat, but there was only silence. Mieka clutched at my arm, and Elizabeth and Padma shot me concerned looks, but they kept singing. The moment drew to a close, and I was ashamed to admit how easy it had been for me to forget the people drowning around me. I had been too worried about myself to consider anyone else. I looked back at Padma as she sobbed into Elizabeth's shoulder.
It's over now. It will get easier each time.
The screaming is awful, she wept. Elizabeth's eyes met mine before she bent to Padma's ear.
You did nothing worse than what you did to your father.
But he deserved it, she screamed. The ocean rumbled beneath us as she yanked us under the surface.
What?
She roared. Padma clung to Elizabeth, and I trembled. All that work for nothing.
I told you no. How could you do this?
All her deadly power and fury was in her voice.
Because you were wrong.
Elizabeth's accusation boomed in our heads.
I walked into Padma's home. I saw how cruel her father was. But now that memory is gone. We destroyed it. None of us could allow her to live in the same world her abusers did. Now they are gone. No one is the wiser, and you still have us at your beck and call.
Colin, did you know?
She sounded hurt at the thought of my betrayal. I looked around at each of my sisters, wondering what would happen to me now. Yes, I didn't go, but I made it possible.
You were to keep them from this.
I could not live with Padma's sorrow. She's been so much better since she came back. Now her second life is real. She's conquered her demons and is yours completely. I felt the heat of her anger stirring around us. Her waves beat at our bodies.
What shall I do with you now?
Sentence us to more time? Elizabeth mocked. Wouldn't that be smart? Have four rebellious girls trapped at your side. Or better yet, kill us all. Who would serve you then?
No, I couldn't take all of you.
The ocean agreed, something cold and deadly in her tone. She ripped Padma from Elizabeth's arms, holding her in a vice grip of nothing but water. Padma screamed, trying to move her arms, but was completely paralyzed.
No, I pleaded. Stop, Elizabeth urged.
Mieka was stunned, her thoughts coming out like a blur of sounds instead of words.
Heed this warning. I cannot take all of you at once, but I can feel your devotion to her. Break my rules again, and she'll pay the price.
Elizabeth's face twisted in anger, waiting for Padma to be restored to us.
Does anyone else have something they'd like to confess?
I wanted to cover Akinlee up with other thoughts, worried about what I might give away. I pushed the memory of my last trip to Port Clyde deep, burying it underneath other, older memories of him. I miss him, I thought, hoping that would mask my other sins.
I know.
She was angry still, but calming. I hung my head, wishing I was better. I was pegged as the good one, so shouldn't I be?
Very well, then.
She flung Padma back at Elizabeth, who scooped her into her arms as Mieka rushed to their side.
Get back now. No detours.
The others moved, but I remained.
How could you? You disobeyed me again.
I could feel her disappointment. I felt her pain. It was no way to live. You always said you were giving us our lives back. She never would have had hers as long as she knew they were out there, alive and well, never having paid for what they did.
People are cruel all the time. Not everyone gets what they deserve.
Yet we had an opportunity to give that to someone who might not have had it otherwise. Please don't stay angry. She doesn't need another angry mother.
I felt the ocean sigh in exasperation.
Why didn't you sing tonight?
I did, until I couldn't anymore. I have no idea what happened.
This isn't normal.
She sounded more irritated than concerned.
You ought to be able to sing and swim. That's what you're made for.
Am I too old? I know I haven't hit my century yet, but is it possible that whatever is in me is fading?
No.
Her voice hardened.
It's much more likely you're being disobedient.
Why would I do that?
For the same reason you took Padma to her parents. You're angry with me.
I rolled my eyes.
I miss Akinlee. I do. Every day, even when I try not to. But I have your word to protect him, and I have accepted my fate. By now, you ought to know that I don't disregard you ever for my own sake.
She considered. The time I didn't sing, pulling Akinlee from the water, taking Padma to her parents. None of those things had been solely for me.
True.
Can I go to my sister's? I'm sure Padma is feeling like a piece in a game right now, and I want her to know she is loved.
Yes,
she said, her voice calmer now.
Remind her that she has love. Not only yours, but mine as well.
I shook my head. I can tell her that all I like, but you should prove that to her yourself. Soon. I followed my sisters, worn out from the evening, and thankful when she pulled me most of the way. In the house, they were on the couch, Elizabeth and Miyaka wrapped around Padma, stroking her hair and shushing her cries.
She won't kill you, Elizabeth vowed. Then why did she say that? There must be some truth to it.
Padma shivered in fear. She told me to tell you she loves you, I said quietly, feeling more like an observer than a participant in the scene. Padma shook her head, her face open with hurt.
I know it doesn't feel that way. It sometimes feels like her love is torture, but I know it's real. I'm hyper aware of her attention sometimes, but she has no idea how off the mark she is with how she shows her love.
I rubbed at my temple, still reeling from the strangeness of the day.
Colin's right, Miyaka said, shaking her head. It's inescapable, but it's so poorly executed that it almost feels like hate.
Are you excusing what she did today?
Elizabeth demanded.
Miyaka stood. No, just trying to understand it all myself. How she can take so constantly and be convinced it comes across as affection.
It's not as if she can practice on an equal.
I picked at the salt on my dress, almost feeling sorry for her.
I don't want to go back to her, Padma worried. I don't want her to hurt me.
Elizabeth continued to hold her.
She won't. Because we'll be so perfect from here out that she'll never have cause. I promise.
26. When I woke, the sun was low. I had slept a whole day. But I still felt groggy, as if I needed still more sleep. My throat and my chest ached, and I felt hot and dizzy.
Miyaka?
I called feebly.
Miyaka?
Seconds later, she ran into my room, alerted by the troubled tone in my voice.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
I feel weak. I can hardly hold myself up.
She scurried around to my side of the bed, her expression a mixture of worry and confusion, and placed a hand on my forehead.
Colin, you're burning up. How is that possible? You aren't supposed to be able to get sick.
I know, but this isn't the first time something's gone wrong. Remember the drive back from Florida? And yesterday?
I paused on the words, almost embarrassed.
When we were on our way to the ship, I was late because I couldn't breathe. She had to take me to the surface.
And you couldn't finish the song. I heard you stop singing.
I nodded.
Can you take me to the ocean?
Despite our disagreements, I yearned for her to hold me. She could help me, I was sure.
Hold on.
Elizabeth!
She ran to fetch her. All three of my sisters came into the room whispering, and when Elizabeth's eyes fell on me, they widened in shock.
You look terrible. Help me, please?
I croaked,
my throat dry. They got under each of my shoulders and pulled me up, Padma walking in front of me and holding her arms out for good measure. I walked on my own, but I knew that if they hadn't been there, I might have fallen more than once. Side by side, we marched into the ocean, all of us crying for help.
What?
I felt the swirling waves of her worry as we floated just beneath the surface. Something's wrong with Colin, Miyaka said. In the water, they could let me go, and I floated there, the ocean holding me like a child.
I'm so tired. Look at her skin, Elizabeth said. She's so pale, and she keeps sleeping, like she needs it.
She has a fever, too, Miyaka added. I was acutely aware that my temperature was off. I could feel the water around me warming from my touch. Padma had bravely come into the water with us, but stayed behind Elizabeth as if she could hide. Miyaka's eyes were careful, observant, but the others couldn't mask their worry. The ocean examined me, lifting my arms and asking me to blink my eyes.
So, not disobedience?
No, I thought. I can't control it. She fretted.
This has never happened before. I don't know what to do.
Maybe if she stays in you for a while, it would help, Elizabeth suggested.
What, Miyaka?
The ocean asked suddenly.
Nothing.
But she did look like she was hiding something.
What were you thinking?
Nothing, Miyaka insisted. Flipping through ideas, it's all nothing. I think Elizabeth is onto something.
She swam up to me.
We'll come and check on you every hour until you feel like coming back to bed.
I didn't want to say how much it bothered me that she said, back to bed, instead of back to the house. It was like she knew I wasn't going to be standing again. Okay. They fled, off to make arrangements for their broken sister. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening.
How long have you been feeling like this?
She sounded uneasy, as if she suspected something she didn't want to say. I squinted, trying to remember. It's been coming on so slowly, it's hard to say. She snuggled me into herself.
Just rest. I'm here.
And I was so tired, I did exactly that. It was so unreal how loved I felt. Right there, balanced with her rigidity, her absolute need to maintain order, I heard her thinking of what she might sacrifice so long as she could keep me. It was such an encompassing feeling, and that alone was enough to make me sleep. I was woken by Miyaka rubbing my shoulder.
Hey, we thought you should get some food. If your energy is waning, maybe that will help. Humans need it.
But I'm not human. She smiled.
Sure you are, underneath it all. Maybe also warmth?
She added.
I'll expect updates.
Of course. Padma's too afraid to come on her own, so it will probably be Elizabeth.
All right, but don't wait too long.
We won't.
Miyaka put an arm under me and pulled me home.
Feeling any better?
She asked as we slowly made our way up the slope to the house. I don't feel worse, but I'm certainly not indestructible right now.
You won't die. It's not possible.
Which has been the theme of my life lately. And yet, Miyaka was quiet as she took me inside, and Elizabeth was in the kitchen, apron around her waist as she ladled broth into a bowl.
Hi, she greeted overenthusiastically. I made chicken noodle soup. It's supposed to be a cure-all.
They put me in soft leggings and an oversized sweater that still had the tag on it before sitting me on the couch. A small tray was placed in front of me, and while I had no desire to eat, the fear in their faces drove me to spoon the noodles and carrots and spices into my mouth. I couldn't take too much, but then again, I wasn't designed for food. When I turned the rest of it away, they exchanged looks.
I think it's time to tell her, Miyaka said.
She needs to know the whole story.
What story? I asked, wondering what they'd kept from me.
I didn't tell them,
she vowed, sitting across from me on an ottoman.
They figured it out on their own.
I squinted. Figured out what? Elizabeth reached into her back pocket and pulled out a sheet of paper.
About him.
I felt faint as I stared into Akinley's eyes. Where did you get that?
From you. You drew it and threw it away, remember?
I closed my eyes. I remembered. It's just a drawing, a very bad one. Nothing like Miyaka's. Elizabeth shook her head.
He's much more than a drawing. I've seen him.
I was aghast.
What do you mean?
You drew this picture. You said you were in a small town, Port Clyde. All you have ever wanted was to fall in love, and you were so deeply depressed when you came back.
I knew. Miyaka only confirmed it.
How?
I tried so hard.
I was having trouble thinking. I was so shocked.
When we were in New York, you cried for 2 days and passed out. You said a word in your sleep, over and over.
Akinley. Elizabeth stared down at the drawing.
At first, I thought it was gibberish, and then I thought it was the name of a town or a building. I didn't figure out it belonged to a person until you made that.
Elizabeth pointed down to the paper, worn from being folded and unfolded who knew how many times. When Elizabeth came to me, I had to tell her the truth, and we decided to find him. You gave us the name of the town. We went there looking for someone answering to that name, fitting this image.
Miyaka smiled ruefully.
Very small town. It wasn't hard.
Tears pooled in my eyes. You've really seen him?
They both nodded. I thought about all those trips they had taken, making up ridiculous stories so they could get to him without me knowing.
How is he?
I asked, unable to contain my curiosity.
Is he okay? Has he gone back to school? Is he still with Ben and Julie? Is he happy? Could you tell? Is he happy?
The questions tumbled out without me being able to hold them in. I was desperate to know. I felt a single word would put my soul at ease. Elizabeth swallowed hard.
That's the thing, Colin. We're afraid he's dying.
They told the ocean I'd eaten, omitting the fact that it all came back up. They told her I was still awake, leaving out that it was because I couldn't stop crying. These half-truths would keep her pacified for now, though I knew she'd find out soon that I was feeling worse than I'd imagined possible.
How can you know if he's dying?
I asked.
It doesn't make sense. He was so healthy. Is it cancer?
That seemed the only option, a quiet killer that pounced even on the strongest of humans, taking them down without them knowing what was coming. Miyaka shook her head. He's been tested. He's been looked at for a number of things.
How in the world could you know this?
By following him to the doctor and sitting in the waiting room, by listening to his cousin update friends on the dock, by scheduling a makeover appointment with Julie, who I think misses you, by the way.
Really?
My aching paused for a moment as I tried to wrap my head around that. I had to pretend to be deaf, of course, and I hadn't expected her to speak at all. But she talked to herself about how I was just like this pretty girl she knew, this girl who didn't speak. She told me how nice it had been to have another girl around, how she was worried you'd drowned.
I sighed. So that's what they think happened to me. Makes sense.
But here's the thing, Colin. His symptoms are similar to yours. He's weak and pale. He's in a wheelchair.
I covered my mouth.
He's covered in bruises because everything hurts him. Sleeping, sitting, moving at all. The doctors don't know what to do.
So, we're sick.
Yes. I don't know how it's possible that you both have the same disease, especially when you shouldn't be able to catch it at all. But I'm doing research. If we can find a name for it, maybe we can find someone who knows how to treat it.
Miyaka, will he die from this?
She shrugged helplessly. I don't know. I've never studied medicine, but he looks like he's deteriorating. It must be because you're a siren that you've been mostly fine until now. From what I've picked up, he seems to have been suffering from this since about 3 months after you parted.
I nodded, trying to imagine Akinley in a wheelchair, inexplicably ill for almost a year.
Is it communicable then? Did I catch this from him?
She shrugged.
That's our best guess. So I'm researching now.
Can I help?
She tilted her head lovingly. We need you to rest. We need you to be as strong as you can be so that when we find a cure, you'll be ready.
How do you know you'll even find a cure?
She stared at me, her eyes intent.
Colin, I pity anyone who stands between me and an antidote, because I'm deadly, and for the first time ever, I think I'd have the ocean's approval if I needed to take out someone who got